Jarvis, bring up my soundboard.
For you, sir, anything.
Alrighty, here we go. One, two, three.
This is episode 103 on October 31st, 2014.
Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and anything else that might jump into our minds. My name is Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
You can do it.
What's wrong with me, guys? I'm Mark Sadowski, and I have a problem. So
tell us about your problem.
Yeah, I this is the perfect place to share between my buds and all
everyone 300 else
people. Yeah, let's set the mood here. So last week, I'm all, you know, rage ridden because I haven't had I didn't get my new iPhone yet, right?
Yeah.
So I go into the T-Mobile store, and they say that the 64 gig iPhone is not going to be available until maybe the end of November.
And then they handed you a glass of Kool-Aid. Go ahead.
No, that came after.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler, come on. And they said, we do have a 16 gig here. I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one. The 16 gig iPhones are moving much faster than everything else. In fact, the dude at the T-Mobile store said that the iPhone 6 Pluses are now moving much faster. There's like a 4-day wait period before they ship for the 16 gig iPhone, iPhone 6 Plus, or whatever the nomenclature is there. So the 16 gigs are moving extremely fast. The higher sizes are just taking forever and then some. So I did it. I finally switched to T-Mobile, and I got myself the 16 gig iPhone. And then, speaking of Kool-Aid, the guy says, hey, we got the iPad Air Pluses, iPad Air 2s in, which is essentially an iPhone Plus. And I'm like, okay. I will take it. Just ring it up. And so I did. I got myself brand new iPhone 6 and a brand new iPad Air 2.
Sucker. And I'm
sucker my butt because I'm still paying much less than I would with AT&T.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, it was the end of an era because I gave up my legacy unlimited plan. I said bye bye, and now I just do unlimited with T-Mobile.
I think it was eventually going to happen, and why not now?
Here's the cool thing. It's a unlocked phone. I can do tethering, which I couldn't do before. That's all it is.
Well, I can do tethering now with AT&T.
But you weren't on unlimited.
No, I wasn't unlimited. But
right,
yeah.
And so the first thing I do after I get everything all squared away is like, oh, I'm going to use the Apple Pay. I'm going to buy something. I get all my credit cards, and none of them are compatible with this yet. I'm like, well, there you go. So that is my adventure on switching to the new stuff.
So what flavor?
I got Space Gray because the only flavor.
Kool-Aid.
Oh, Silver because that's the iPad. I got to say, though, I'm coming from the iPad 3. That's the first Retina version. And going from that to this is night and day. Really? Holy crap, is this thing thin. I am like amazed as to how thin they made this thing.
Do you have to wear those special gloves that chefs wear when they cut up meat?
No, screw that. If this thing can't take a beating, then I don't know what.
No, I meant to keep from slicing your hand. Because it's
so, you know, thin. What? It's thin, but there is that one little plane on the on one of the bezel sides, because it has its metal, like right around the bezel. There's a metal ring around the whole thing, and it does feel like it's going to cut you.
And, now let me ask you this:
yeah,
are you going to put a case on it?
For now, no, and here's why: I took my old Moment lens mount and slapped it onto this thing because, well, let's face it, I really need to finish that review.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing my reviews with this thing to, one, test out how good this camera actually is, since they bragged about how good it was, and, you know, just do my regular regular reviews on the lens itself.
Nice.
So right now, the lens mounts for the iPhone 6, the Moment lens mount, that's I'm assuming it's shipping. They said that they started to ship them. I don't know if mine started to ship, but, you know, we'll see. We'll wait. Hmm. Yeah. Cool. But you have had the phone longer than I did. I've only had the chance to take a few photos. How's the photography been for you, Joe?
Actually, I really like it. You know, like I said last week, both my wife and I got the 6. She likes the extra real estate when it comes to the screen. I like it too. I've been fiddling with my 4S, and I'm just shocked on the difference in size. Images are great. I love my favorite feature so far is the touch to unlock. I really like that. And then, you know, taking pictures is good, but I've noticed something different, but I want to talk about that shortly. Because I think, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Have you been doing anything in iPhone photography lately?
Yeah, a little bit.
You're still on the fence as to what phone you're going to get, right?
Yes, I actually went and looked at them again, and I still don't know. So I might go tomorrow just to see what the stock situation is, but I'm not going to puss out and get a 16 gigabyte one under that.
You know what? I normally wouldn't have either, but it was either pay another month of outrageous AT&T bills or do the switch. I went with the switch.
Yeah,
if you go for a larger capacity iPhone, I am very curious as to what your wait time is, because my wait time, I mean, I've been waiting since the end of September. So, and they were predicting the end of November for my phone.
2 months.
I have been waiting since, I guess, the day that they came out. But
you didn't actually put it in order.
No, I don't really. Like, I care and I want one, but I don't care that much.
Yeah.
So, I am excited to get one, though. My iPhone 5 is kind of doing funky things, so hopefully there's stock of the new phones before my iPhone 5 decides not to work anymore.
Right.
I'm sure there's plenty of 16 gigs out there for you.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. You said that those are the ones that are moving, so why is there a supply of those if they're the ones that are moving?
I have no idea, dude.
That makes absolutely no sense. I know.
Nope, it doesn't. But those are the ones that are arriving in stores.
Well, maybe they're moving because that's the only one available.
Right.
I mean, yeah. It's
so I'm sure there's plenty of people like you that are like, well, screw it, I'll just get that.
Right. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll upgrade next year.
Watch. Matt will walk in and like, oh, when's it available? Oh, 24-hour wait list.
Well, we'll see, because I have a feeling that when I do go in and get one, we'll be getting two. I'm not changing carriers, though. And
right.
We've discussed this already. And I may even switch my TV service to AT&T, so it'll be a happy day for AT&T when I walk through the door.
Yeah, they're not missing me at all.
No, I've decided to pick up your slack.
There you go. I got to say this. I mean, this is a little bit far from iPhone photography talk, but the phone call quality between what I had on AT&T and what I have now is remotely different. Like, when I call my wife, when it's T-Mobile to T-Mobile, I'm assuming it's T-Mobile to T-Mobile, but it's like beautiful HD quality. It's really, really good, and we never got that before. Like, I'd have to pretend I understood what she said. Now I actually get to understand what she's saying, and that's rather refreshing. I'm like, wow, I don't have to pretend anymore. I told her that today. I'm like, I don't have to fake it anymore. She's like, oh, okay.
Well, but was there a big difference when you talked to me?
Not a huge difference.
Okay, so I wonder if it has to do...
but not as better. Not as good as the T-Mobile to T-Mobile.
That's... Huh.
And we did not turn on Wi-Fi calling. That's something that you have to enable yourself.
Right.
Which I did, but here's the thing to consider. Make sure your Wi-Fi that you're using is actually good.
Yeah.
I have Comcast, and I have pretty decent Comcast, but my father-in-law has really crappy DSL. Yeah. And when I tried to make a phone call on it, it was like pulling teeth. I'm like, oh, right, I should turn that off now.
Yeah. Now, okay, why would you want to do Wi-Fi calling?
So you don't have to use your cellular data. So you don't have to use the cellular data.
Wouldn't you use like regular cellular minutes?
It depends on what you have for minutes.
Are you talking about using FaceTime?
It's kind of like using FaceTime without having to use FaceTime. I mean, you're just using the Wi-Fi. I guess it's a better quality phone call.
Okay.
But I don't know. That's for our other show, the Cellular Shutter Podcast.
Well, okay. Well, let's go ahead and get into our feature. I wanted to talk about
focus point.
Yeah,
let's do it properly.
I wanted to talk about the iPhone 6 camera.
Right.
And I've had it now for a week. I really like it, but I noticed there was something different about the images from at least, you know, from what I have with the iPhone 4S and the 6. Actually, I'm going to pull up an image on my 5C, my work phone, and see if we have the same thing, because I don't know if there was a... Yeah, I don't know.
What are you seeing? Let's just put it up.
So
there.
when I take a picture with the 4S, I can see, you know, sort of the noise and the not quite the pixels, but it's very defined look. When with the 6.
No, this is only when you're zoomed in.
That's when I zoom in. And that's zoomed in only on the screen, not on a computer. When I zoom in on the 6 and I look at the images, it's like I'm looking at that Corel paint app where you can take a photo and have it be painted. It's almost like the images look like paintings instead of having pixels. And I didn't know if anybody else has noticed that. Well, Mark, you'd be the only one now, but it's like Apple decided to get rid of the pixel look and use software to sort of give it a smoothness or something like that.
I would recommend you do this. I would recommend you take the photos and look at them from a computer screen. What you need to do is look at them through different sources, because right now you're looking at your iPhone 5C photos, and then you're looking at your iPhone 6 photos from their respective devices.
All right.
The pixel density is much different compared to, you know, the two phones are night and day, pretty much. You have a higher pixel count on the iPhone 6, and you have a higher density, and then you have a much bigger screen.
All right.
I would look into seeing the difference on a computer, and that way, you know, zoom in 100% and then get a look. Because I've been trying to see what, you know, see what you're seeing on mine, and I'm not seeing what you're seeing. But right. I'm pretty sure that now I can't be certain of this, I guess. But I want to say that I don't want to talk out of turn. And hang on for a second. I'm going to try to see if I could. You guys talk. I'm going to see if I can find out the DPI of a iPhone photo.
Oh, I definitely see it on my computer screen too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let's see here. I am going to do a print screen.
And that's not going to count.
No, yeah, it will. You'll see what I'm looking at. And can I paste that? All right. Go ahead and look at the Skype chat.
All right, riveting radio here.
I know. Because that's what I see on both my device and my computer screen.
Now you're looking at him through what? You're on your PC, right?
Right. I'm using a HP.
If you right-click on each image, does it give you the information about that photo? And doesn't list the DPI. So.
Let me see. Oops. Nope. Oops. I just closed that out. Jiminy crickets. All right. I'm going to download.
Speaking of which, you sent me a 1.8 megabyte file.
Right.
That's forever and a day through Skype.
let's see here.
I'm like growing facial hair waiting for this thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
if only Dollar Shave Club advertised, then I can shave it on the air while this thing is downloading.
All right, so the it's saying 72 DPI.
On which one? For both of them?
For the image that I downloaded off of my phone.
Which one was on your phone? Both of them?
Yeah. Well, for the iPhone 6.
The iPhone 6 photo was to take the, so the this picture of your wife and your dragon,
yeah.
that was photographed with your iPhone 6.
iPhone 6.
Okay,
but you can see how it looks like it's painted.
Yeah, it's kind
like
of
by a weird 3-year pixel. Old.
This was low light, right?
Not really. No. It was a 30th of a second at ISO 160.
What camera app were you using?
Native.
You took that around 5 o'clock, right?
It was 6:30.
Okay. So, yeah, that's getting pretty late, and it's getting pretty dark soon.
Yeah, but I see it in full, you know, noontime light. This is no different than taking it in the middle of the day.
I don't know. I'm going to have to dig around on this one.
Yeah, it's
I see what you mean.
Yeah. I want to see if there's other people out there that see the same thing. When the image is reduced in size, you know, on the screen, it looks fine.
Listen, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that there was possible movement in this shot. Nobody was standing perfectly still, and you are holding a child.
No, but you can look at the trees behind it, and you got the same thing. You know,
you were possibly moving as well.
No, seriously. I think they're trying to do some sort of an algorithm to reduce noise.
It's possible.
And it's giving it this painted look. Now, you know, granted, they're probably like, oh, nobody's going to crop into this. They're just going to take photos. But, you know, we're doing things differently.
How much is this cropped?
The image that I showed you,
mm-hmm.
I want to say it's almost, let's see here. I want to say it's cropped in probably a third in. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll have, I'll post
the original photo.
Yep. See, when the original photo is away, it looks fine.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what I do, I'll take a picture, and then I'll crop in. And, I mean, I'll go way in, and it looks fine. You can't do that with the 6 because it really is distorted with the way their algorithm is.
Well, like you saw, it's a 72... It's a 72 DPI
right.
on a device that's, what, like 400, 600 DPI?
Right, but you're not going to get a 300 DPI image out of this iPhone 6. They're all going to be 72 DPI.
Yeah.
So,
Matt, can you weigh in on some of this? Because you're a better technical person than I am.
No, because... One, I don't have an iPhone 6, and two, stupid Skype is not letting me access chat, I can't even see the link.
Skype, damn you.
What I'll do is I will put a post on the website that has the original photo and then the cropped-in photo that I took, but I'll allow people to be able to download it and look at it on their image on their computer screens themselves, and actually see what I'm talking about.
I will agree with you on one thing, though. Whether it's my iPhone 6 or the iPad, the images look great until you zoom in.
Right.
And I am seeing not the same effect, but a similar issue when I zoom in on one of my Fuji photos. And I'm photographing the Fujis at a... What the heck is going on? My stupid cat wants to get into the cabinet. No, you're not having any snacks.
I think it is, you know, Apple and, you know, Fuji and a lot of these are wanting to do in-camera fixes using algorithms.
Well, here's it. Yes, absolutely. There's absolutely that happening on the iPhone 6. That is like a big part of what makes the iPhone 6 the iPhone 6. In fact, we had a whole discussion about that a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Camera Raw features. But as far as display goes, I mean that's another issue too, because my photos on my Fuji are, I think the default is 240 DPI. Okay. I'll have to double check on that. But even then, when I zoom in on a photo, it's a little blurry when they're crystal clear on my computer. Let's look into that one. We'll table that discussion and explore that a little bit more. But if you, the listener, are having issues similar to this, shoot us an email. Go to tinyshutter.com or just find us on Facebook and let us know.
I'll definitely put it on the website and write up my concerns and what it, you know, because I want to be able to crop into my images. And I don't want it to... I don't want to have to look at it and go, that looks like garbage cropped in. And what I'll do also is I will do a side-by-side comparison between the 4S and the 6
yeah.
and show the difference in cropping and what it looks like.
I mean, the easy solution is don't crop. Move in closer.
Yeah. But, you know, it just, you know, sometimes I'll see a car that I want to take a picture of, but I can't get close to it because then I might cause a really bad accident
right.
or something like that or get run over. And so I'll take a picture, I'll crop in, and it looks great and everything. But now with the 6, it's not – that won't be an option.
Yeah. Well, let's find out. Let's see what's going on. I will – thoroughly give it, run it through the paces next week when I have a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Cool. All right. Well, other than that, I think, you know, I think it's good. I that was, you know, one concern that I had, but, I like the ease and use of the iPhone 6. I want to say that I want to have a choice between having in-camera correction and not having in-camera correction. If there was a way to turn it off, I would probably turn it off. But I don't think Apple's going to want to hear that, because they're not thinking of us as photographers. They're thinking of the hundreds of millions of people that they're wanting to serve who aren't going to care about that. And they're doing it for the best of everybody and not so much towards the photographer. So just some thoughts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move along and let's get into talking about some updates. And Matthew.
News team!
Matthew, you have some updates to bring up.
Yeah, the first one I wanted to mention was something that we've been waiting for a few weeks now, and that is PureShot. They finally have an update that is optimized for iOS 8 and has all the manual controls and whatnot. It's very, very, very super duper similar to 645 Pro. In fact, really the only difference between the two apps that I can tell is 645 Pro has filters, like film effects and whatnot, and PureShot is just the pure camera app.
Yep.
And Joe, you mentioned that you saw some differences, but can you elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, the differences that I saw in PureShot, you know, of course, the manual controls. I do like the new manual controls on it, and I thought I had issues with the 645 Pro when it first came out. I was trying the different manual options, but it didn't seem to work the way I thought it did. And it could be that I was doing it wrong. It could have been operator error. But when 645, when PureShot updated, they gave the same manual controls. Either you can do full-on manual, meaning you can choose ISO and shutter speed, or they have an ISO option where they will allow you to change the ISO and increase or decrease the what's it called?
Shutter speed.
Yeah, well, sort of the shutter speed, but more, it's more of a compensation.
Oh, gotcha. Yes.
Yeah. And then the other option they have, two other options is, one is you can set the shutter speed, and then they will allow you to compensate, and they'll change the ISO themselves. Or there's the automatic, which the only thing you can change is the compensation, either up and down on the scale. So, very simple design. A lot of the same features are there. They just have the wheel like you would on a camera. And one of the things I did notice is there's Camera Plus came out with TIFF, which PureShot already had, and I compared the size files that Camera Plus and PureShot had, and Camera Plus TIFF file size was almost 9 megabytes, which is a pretty large file for an iPhone. But I was curious. I was like, oh, I'm going to look at PureShot to see what size their TIFF file is. And it's 24 megabytes size. So that's something else I need to dig in and see. Okay, why would I want to have a 25 megabyte file? And is there much difference between a lossless file or a compressed file to see if it's really worth using that? So that's what I was looking at.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have all of those apps set up for the compressed TIFFs.
Yep.
Just because I don't really think I need to have super ginormous files from my iPhone. Yeah, that was actually one of the other things I did want to mention, was that there was an update to Camera Plus, but the real thing that they added was that higher quality file being the TIFF file.
Yeah.
That was really the main thing for that. Another app that we have mentioned, I don't think any of us use this app with any regularity, but we have mentioned it on the show before, so I figured I'd just mention it again. It is OSnap, which is a time-lapse app. One of the things that they've included in this latest update is you can now shoot your time lapses in square format. So, oh, wow. You know, if you end up posting them to Instagram and stuff anyway, you may as well save yourself a step and just shoot squares right from the time lapse app. And you have a choice of resolutions. It kind of depends on a couple things. One is if you're shooting with the front-facing or rear-facing camera, you get higher resolution from the rear-facing camera, you know, not the FaceTime camera, but the other one. And then if you pay for their, like, pro version, then you get even higher resolution.
Huh.
So actually, you don't even get a choice if you don't pay for the app. So, yeah. And then they have, like, just some other things, like battery-saving mode that supposedly increases your battery life by, like, 50% when you're using the app. So I guess that would just mean you could shoot a longer time lapse and stuff like that. So
interesting.
Yeah, I've used this app several times, and I think it's a great app for doing time lapse. But there's so many good choices out there now. You know, you could do time lapse from right in your native camera app, which, right. You know, that's not a bad choice. And then there's another app we've mentioned, Lapsit, which is a great time lapse app. So there's lots of good time lapse apps, but I've used this app, Oh Snap, several times, and I really like it.
Nice.
Yeah. That's really all I got for updates this week.
Okay. One other app I wanted to mention, my father-in-law sent me a text yesterday, and he says, hey, check this one out, see what you think. I'm like, all right, so I looked it up. It's called ProShot, all one word, and right now it's free. So I said, all right, I'll check it out. And it touts itself to be a manual camera app. It's wanting to use all the manual functions as an app. I don't believe there's any filtering. There's no other gimmicky stuff that's to it. It's simply, you know, here's your options. You can choose through auto, P mode, manual mode, and then you have choice of setting up your custom. Functions to be able to say, I want this custom setting to be mainly an ISO where I can get the fastest shutter time speed, or I can choose the other one to do a shorter shutter speeds. I thought that was pretty cool. And then one feature that I thought was pretty good that I'm going to test out even more is they allow you to manually adjust the focus. There are other apps that you can manually adjust focus on, and in all honesty, manual focus on the iPhone is not apples to apples with doing a manual focus on a regular DSLR. There is a much smaller difference in getting, you know, let's just say you get really good focus up close or far away. There's hardly any way to get in between, so you have to get creative. But one thing that they did on this app was when you do focus, if you you can focus up and down on the screen, and they have a indication of where to focus. But what they allowed you to do is go to the left, and what it'll do is it'll zoom in digitally, and as you slide up and down, it'll show things that are farther away, whether they're in focus or not. And once you let go, it goes to a normal view. So you can zoom in and then adjust the focus to where you want it, and then let go, and then it's set. I thought that was pretty ingenious. I thought that was a good feature.
PureShot and 645 Pro have essentially that same feature.
Oh, cool.
It's just a manual focus assist is basically what it is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's definitely a different focusing feature, but I don't think you could zoom in while you do it. They're doing that new thing that, what is it, Fuji's doing? Or Canon?
You got to go elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Where they, it's like a digital contrast.
Who's doing that?
PureShot and 645.
Oh, you're talking about focus peaking.
Yes, focus peaking. There you go. Thank you.
Yes,
is a little different.
Yeah. The zoom and focus peaking are two completely different things, but on Pure and 645, I use them in conjunction with each other.
Okay.
So while this app that you're talking about looks really nice, by the way, it's essentially the same thing as Pure, just a different interface.
Right.
But I feel like if you're going to have a manual focus thing that zooms in the picture so you can see what's in focus, it'd still be helpful to have focus peaking.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see how far this guy gets and if there's going to be any improvements. There was one thing I did notice that was kind of seemed buggy was even if it would, it didn't matter whether it was the middle of the day or in low light situations, it seemed like the screen was flickering. And it could be just a programming problem, but I didn't know. I didn't know if it was going to affect the images themselves.
And it did.
To me, it was very similar to if you ever watch, sports and they do slow motion, and you can see the lighting and darkening of sort of the shutter action. It was very similar to that. So I'm hoping that it'll get updated, updated soon. But I'll have to keep an eye on it. So I thought it was pretty cool. Right now it's free, so if you want to check it out, just go to iTunes and look up Pro Shot. Camera Plus is $2.99 in the App Store. Pure Shot's $1.99.
Whoa! I thought it was a 99-cent app.
Ooh, not
Camera
according.
Plus.
Not according to iTunes.
What?
Yep, it's on the.
They
way.
Raised
it's,
the price.
It's $2.99. And Oh Snap is the pro version is $2.99. Also, they have a free version to check out. So you can try it for free, but it's not going to have all the extra stuff that the Pro has.
$2.99, go figure.
Yeah. They probably, you know what I think it was, is they had a special, and then they bumped the price.
Wow, I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them. They deserve it.
It's great still, app.
I would have paid $5.99 for this thing. I mean, not now because I already own it, but,
Oh, excuse me.
In fact, since I already own it, I would have paid $9.99 for this.
Wink! All right. I think we'll go ahead and end that segment.
No, we won't.
Oh, go for it, man.
Here I am busting the door in with Mission Pick. This is it's a fun app, and I don't know what podcast I heard this on. It wasn't a photography podcast. It was just something that was done in passing. But Mission Pick is you guys remember Dual Pick from back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the idea of Dual Pick was that it would you'd be able to take a picture and run it up against somebody else. You would essentially start a duel with a topic. Like, for example, you create a duel that involves the color blue. And then, you and the person that you're dueling with would have to throw down and, find a photo and put it in. And people would vote on it. It was a great app. Except for the fact that nobody was using it, which made duels kind of, lackluster because nobody would respond to the duel. Mission Pick is not a duel. What it does is every day there's a certain theme that you have to do. Like, for example, today, it being Halloween, the theme is Halloween. And you have to put up your Halloween photo and everybody else is putting up their Halloween photos, and then you can start voting on photos. It's a great way to kind of keep your skills honed, I guess.
You mean it's like
one
hot
of the
or
things
not?
That I encounter is not knowing what to photograph. Sometimes I'll go through one of those days where it's like, I don't feel like doing anything. And Mission Pick is kind of like that boot in the ass that I need to at least think of something creatively. So
when they vote, is it like Hot or Not?
Yeah, you swipe. So what happens is you take a there's certain functions here. You can take your photo. That's, you know, pretty self-explanatory. There's another little tab that says you can vote on stuff. One tab to view the photos and another the tab to start voting on stuff. And what you do to vote is just to swipe up for a positive vote, swipe down for a negative vote. And I haven't had it long enough to see how long the contest lasts. Excuse me there. Wow. It's been a long day. I don't know what happens when somebody wins. It's I haven't been there long enough. But it's a pretty fun app, and it has a pretty pretty regular community in there. And I thought, let's get our Tiny Shutter people in there and start messing about. And my username in there is Tiny Shutter.
Nice.
Fitting enough. But it's fun. It's a nice way to kind of keep you on your toes. And like I said, it has a community in there that seems pretty lively. So give it a try. Now, the one thing I do know about this app is that it's still very new. It's in its early stages. So there are moments where it appears buggy. Like, I'll have flickering images here and there. But I got word that they are going to make an update probably next month, a pretty major update to the app. So be patient with it
for now. When they polish the app?
When they polish it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool.
So give it a go. Like I said, I like this thing. This is really cool.
Yeah, it looks neat.
Yeah.
All right.
So get in there and vote for my photos.
Yeah. Are you going to...
Damn it.
It's like a contest, right?
It's pretty fun. Now, the one drawback, which in this case I don't really mind, is that you need to use their app to take the photo. You can't import, but that's part of the mission is to use the app. There's no cheating, no bringing in DSLRs. He wants you to take the photo right on the spot and do it. So in a sense, you can't take something from the past and do it. You need to be fresh on your toes, you know,
that's
actively
true.
Think.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And so in this case, I think it's cool. Yeah, I think it's fine. And it's a lot of fun. So give that a go.
Cool.
Now we are done with the segment.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into post pick of the week. Post pick of the week. All right. This week it is my turn. And I look to see how many images we have under our hashtag, and we are looking at over 24,000.
Nice.
It's crazy. Today, I went ahead and chose an image, and it was it stood out because, number one, it's been cloudy over here, so this one has a lot of sunlight and just a beautiful setting. And Fritzagram got an image of a sailboat in the Boston Harbor with the Boston skyline and the sun coming directly. It's getting to the point where it's, I believe it's a getting ready to sunset, and it's.
I don't
beautiful.
Think so.
Oh, is it rising? I don't know where Boston Harbor is in conjunction with Boston itself.
Boston Harbor is in Boston.
Right, no, I'm talking about whether the sun's in the west or in the east.
No, okay, I see it. Yeah, that's setting.
Okay.
So okay. Good. you know what? It's funny. I looked at this image before the show, and I remembered it completely different. I was seeing the sun on the other side.
Okay. You know what's funny? When I moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, it took me a while to get my bearings between North and South because in California, the ocean was to the west. And being on the East Coast, the ocean was to the east. So when I thought of the ocean, I would look south and think it was north.
Yeah.
But that's another story. All right. So I really like this image, and I thought it would make a great post pick of the week. What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
What? It's in the
US. No, he's having a problem with his Skype chat.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, good job, Fritzogram. And if you want to have an image featured for post pick of the week, hashtag your image Tiny Shutter, and it will be added to the others that are in there. And each week we'll go through and find an image that we like and choose it for our album art for our podcast on the website.
Yay.
Woohoo. So, all right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, we got this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
That's right. So,
I think we could taper it down.
What's that?
I think we could start ending the show.
That sounds like a good idea. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Mark.
I am on Instagram, that Polish photographer.
And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. Believe me, I'm still trying to get back into the social media thing. So I'll start posting more things, especially the kids in their Halloween costumes. You can also find us on Instagram at the username Tiny Shutter Podcast. And on Facebook, facebook.com/tinyshutter. And each week we try to, when we can, do a live show on Alpha Geek Radio. And we're on Channel 2 on Friday nights at 9 o'clock, if you don't have anything else going on.
Nobody does anything on Friday nights.
That's right. So you should be listening to us live. We didn't have Maud or Shannon this week, and so we didn't monitor the chat room, but when they're here, they're helping us out with that, and usually they're by themselves, but come on and listen live with us and give us some feedback, and we look forward to hearing from you guys. And if you have any comments or questions, you can find us on the web, tinyshutter.com. Leave us some feedback, and also leave us feedback on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review, or complain, do whatever, tell us what we're doing wrong. We don't care. We'll listen to it.
And but really, don't complain. Just give us a 5-star.
Yeah. So, all right. I thought that was a good show. Why don't you go ahead and lead us out of here, Mark?
You got it. If I only had that music ready and not goofing off on Instagram. Here we go.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Were you recording?
Yes.
Okay, good.